that, and I think he knows that. And I'm telling you, I think most of the players in the NBA and agents would tell you that Philadelphia is a top 10 market. So I think next year you could see them have great.
Hey, Mike, are you there? I think we have every technical difficulties. Mike, can you hear me?
Yeah, absolutely.
Hey, sorry about that. We had a little problem here with our little setup. We got it figured out. I apologize for that. We're talking to Mike, Sixers Report podcast host, True Hoops Network, and Philadelphia writer. He's joining us right now on the line to talk some Sixers. So, last night, Sam Hinkie seemed to pull a fast one on Vlade out in Sacramento. What's your take on this? Regarding this, did this kind of die down maybe the little bit of anger that might have been towards Sam Hinkie for not drafting a guard?
Yeah, I think it probably definitely helped to ease the minds of some of the Sixers fans. I think a lot of people wanted to see them draft D'Angelo Russell in the draft, and then obviously when that didn't happen and we landed with Okafor, I think there was a lot of questions about, people were happy about Okafor because he's a talented guy and he has potential to be, a perennial all-star. But on the heels of drafting, obviously Noel and Embiid, I think there was a lot of questions about the fit. And, there still is questions about the fit, but I think picking up a guy like Stauskas, who was, only a year removed from being the eighth overall pick in the draft, and the guy that, a lot of people wanted in Philly last year and they can just knock the lights out shooting-wise, I think that definitely helps ease the minds of fans a little bit, and they can see a little more balance on the team now. As someone like Okafor will be in the post demanding some attention, then they'll have a guy like Stauskas, and a guy like Covington on the other wing that he can kick the ball out to.
Yeah, that's a great point, but this has been a free agent frenzy, and I haven't seen anything from the Sixers. Is there anybody you think in the pipeline? I know you're probably not going to see a fancy move, but there's still quite a few point guards out there. Do you think there's anybody who might be a fit here?
It's tough to say. Obviously, a lot of the big-name guys are re-upping with their teams, and it would be a pipe dream to see them have wound up with a guy like Jimmy Butler or Kawhi Leonard at this stage. But, there's still a couple guys out there, specifically point guards. Pat Beverley from the Houston Rockets is a guy that, he's rumored to be available or out there. And, he plays some good defense. He's a guy that Hinkie's familiar with from Houston. A guy like Corey Joseph, who's the Spurs backup point guard, who's a free agent out there. Either somebody like that, the Sixers might be interested in going after. I really don't think they'll be spending any type of big money this summer on any of the remaining big free agents. I think, the cap space that they have is, last night's trade was a perfect example of why they have so much cap space and aren't necessarily using it to sign, already established guys. Having that much space allows them to, kind of absorb contracts that other teams don't want, like the, Carl Landry and Jason Thompson from Sacramento. And then in addition to taking on those, they can get, things that they really want asset-wise, whether, something like a Nick Stauskas and another first-round pick coming over. So, they might try to fill in the holes in the roster with a couple, mid-level guys, specifically probably wing players or point guards, since, there's a lot of front-court depth already. But, I don't think there'll be any, blockbuster names or anything like that coming over this year.
Yeah, and talking about assets, you're looking at the prospect of having Joel Embiid, Nerlens Noel, Dario Saric, Nick Stauskas, Jahlil Okafor, four first-round picks, and a boatload of cap space. So even if the Sixers do tank again for the third year, next offseason has got a huge bright spot on the calendar for the Sixers.
Yeah, absolutely. I think for a lot of fans that are kind of starting to question it, it seems like there's always a future date that everyone's pointing to. But I really think this year on the court, you'll start to see I'm not saying there'll be a playoff team or anything like that. I do think you'll start to see some cohesion and some players starting to really develop and come together. I think toward the second half of last year already, you started to see the guys really respond to Brett Brown, you know, especially on the defensive end, buckle down and start to play well together. You know, another year of Noel developing, Covington developing, obviously adding Okafor into the mix, adding potentially, you know, Jordan McRae from overseas coming in this year. You know, there's a lot of talent, and, you know, I think that'll start to come together this year. And then, as you mentioned, next summer, 2016, when, you know, 4 first-round picks is huge, they'll have, you know, be able to address any issues at that point, whether it be point guard or a couple more shooters or perimeter players, combined with, you know, the cap space that they have and the, you know, the increasing salary cap in the NBA as a whole. There'll be a lot of opportunity for them to sign guys too. And at that point, you know, with some momentum going maybe and some guys establishing themselves, some of the free agents will be more willing to look at Philly as an actual destination and a place that they would, you know, want to come and see a real, you know, chance to win a title.
Yeah. And I know this is what, now the third year. So exactly. It's hard to be patient as a Sixers fan, but you definitely got to like what they're doing. Especially with all the money being spent on big men and you know, Aldridge having 7 places to go. He's really stockpiling on the right position. But who do you see as a team on the rise in the NBA? Who made the biggest splash to you so far in a free agency?
Well, I mean, the obvious one, it's not a team on the rise. The most impressive so far, I think, has just been the Cavs. You know, just making sure that all the guys that they had in that championship run, you know, are coming back next year. There was a lot of talk about Kevin Love potentially going elsewhere. Same with Iman Shumpert and Tristan Thompson. You know, those core pieces of the Cavs, other than LeBron, that really, you know, helped get them back to the finals. I think the Cavs did a really good job locking them up. The Suns out west, they've missed the playoffs the past couple of years. They've been, you know, really active in free agency. They locked Tyson Chandler for, I think it was 4 years, coming out, and they signed their point guard Brandon Knight to a big contract. So, you know, they're obviously throwing a lot of money out around to try to get back into the swing of the Western Conference playoffs. And another team out west that I think did some good work subtly was the Clippers. You know, their biggest hole as of, you know, the past couple seasons, they've obviously had Chris Paul at the point guard and then really solid front court play from Blake and DeAndre, but they've had, you know, inconsistent perimeter play other than J.J. Redick, who's, you know, similar to Stauskas as a, you know, a shooting option. They, the Clippers added, you know, Paul Pierce for 3 years, and they got Lance Stephenson from the Hornets, who's, you know, kind of a head case and up and down, but if in the right situation with the right leadership like Chris and Blake, you think maybe he'll straighten his act out. And, you know, him and Paul together really is a nice little coup for the Clippers in this offseason. So I think, you know, those are probably the teams that have impressed me the most so far this summer.
And I've heard these two rumors about the Sixers lately. I'm gonna tell them both to you. I want to know if there's any truth to them or what you think about it. The first one is that Sam Hinkie's whole tanking process is to wait out LeBron's prime in the Eastern Conference, because as far as anyone is concerned, as long as LeBron is in the East, he will make it to the NBA Finals. And the other one I heard is that Embiid has been seen all over the city, pretty much being Andrew Bynum. And another part of that is that this whole injury or, you know, lack of healing in the foot was just a smokescreen, and that it was a cover-up just to protect whatever plan they had for the draft. Is there any truth in any of that?
As to the first part about LeBron and his prime, I don't think at any point, you know, in the Sixers, like, strategy of the war room, I don't think it was ever explicitly said, you know, like, we're going to take so-and-so amount of time because by then LeBron's not going to be good. As much as, you know, I think it's more a matter of it's a slow process and they're not rushing it. And I think timing-wise, you know, you look at the Eastern Conference right now over the past year or two, it's really top-heavy. There's been a couple teams, you know, obviously whatever team LeBron's been on, whether it be the Heat or, you know, this year the Cavs, they've been, you know, the conference's best team. Then the Bulls have been there and the Pacers have been there. And then other than that, there's, and, you know, since the Celtics big three kind of disbanded, there hasn't been a lot of great teams in the East. And I think that, you know, if you look a couple years down the road when LeBron is, you know, maybe in decline, he's going to be, you know, 33, a lot of miles on his body. I think the East will be pretty open, and the way Sam Hinkie's kind of set the Sixers up to be, you know, they're stacking talent now, and they're going to continue to be acquiring talent, you know, 4 picks next year, eventually last year's lottery pick, Dario Saric will come over. They just got another first-round pick for the future from that Stauskas trade last night. So it's kind of like he has a pipeline of talent coming into the team, so they'll continue to be adding talent as they develop and grow. And that will, you know, that'll coincide, hopefully, I think, with, you know, kind of a new power structure in the East as, you know, LeBron as the dominant force tends to wind down. But I don't think at all that was necessarily, you know, the plan wasn't built around that. It kind of just happens to be how the league is shaped and, you know, shaken out at this point. And as far as Joel Embiid, you know, his whole situation with the Sixers right now remains probably the biggest question hanging over the team, and it really has been since his selection, you know, last year with the 3rd overall pick. If, you know, if the team had ended up with Andrew Wiggins in last year's draft, like a lot of people had hoped them, you know, thought that they were, hoped that they would, a lot of the confusion surrounding the team, you know, just wouldn't exist right now. You'd have, you know, a young core of Noel, Wiggins, assuming they still get Okafor, maybe Carter Williams wouldn't have been traded. You don't know necessarily, but the play in the waiting game with Embiid is kind of, you know, it's holding the franchise up a little bit. But you don't really know. Some of the reports that came out, his status at this point, as far as I know, is still uncertain. The team is getting, you know, 2nd, 3rd, and 4th opinions from doctors across the country as to whether, you know, whether he needs more surgery on the foot. As far as I could tell, it was that it was healing well all the way up through the end of the season and everything. And then they were, you know, making preparations for summer league a few weeks ago. And there was all of a sudden a stoppage, and the healing kind of stopped and regressed a little bit. It wasn't a new injury or anything like that. It was kind of, you know, slowage of the process, which is obviously a red flag. You wonder why it's taken so long, but, you know, I don't think that it's anything, you know, you mentioned Andrew Bynum. I wouldn't yet sort of clump those two in the same category. I think Joel is definitely dedicated to getting out on the court. You know, he's motivated. He's probably frustrated. It's been, you know, over a year now since he hasn't been able to play for the team. Kind of been sitting and watching. So, you know, as a young kid, that definitely has to be trying on you. But, you know, overall, I think the Sixers are being really patient with Joel, and I think that's going to continue to be there. MO, and that kind of ties back into your first question that, you know, they're not in any rush to get him out on the court this year. As annoying as that might sound to fans, you know, they're going to take his health into account first, and they're building for something a couple years down the road when the East is a little more open. So, you know, those two questions actually kind of tied together.
For sure. And this is the last question to get you out of here after this. We appreciate you jumping on with us. What are the reasonable expectations for Jahlil Okafor in the summer league? Do we expect him to just run through and dominate the league like he has at every level through his career up to this point? Or should we temper our expectations a little bit because now he is playing against, you know, the future pro prospect?
That's a great question. The fan in me wants to, you know, just say, you know, he's just going to run through and dominate all the you know, guys he faces up against in summer league. But, you know, as you mentioned, I think there definitely has to be a little bit of, you know, tapering of expectations just because it's, you know, a transitional period the first time that his game's really going to be tested against other NBA-level competition, you know, in the summer league. That's why summer league is great for young guys like that. It's not necessary for, you know, guys that are already established and used to and accustomed to the league. But for a young guy like Okafor that's, you know, he's still only 19. He's coming out of his freshman year in college, leading Duke to a national title. Expectations are high, obviously, being selected 3rd in the draft. A lot of people thought he could have went 1st. I mean, you know, realistically, I think he's going to go out there and, you know, put up some solid points, definitely in the double figures, look for some rebounding. I don't think he's going to play a ton of minutes, you know, somewhere right around 20. But, you know, I would just look for the most important thing to pay attention for, I would think, would just be to watch his offense and see how, you know, how his game kind of translates from the college game where he, you know, relied a lot on his size in the post to kind of overpower some of the smaller guys in college to, you know, the pros where a lot of these guys are bigger and, you know, going to be hungrier trying to prove, you know, get a spot for themselves on their respective teams. So, you know, I think he's going to do very well. It'll be a learning experience, but, you know, overall, I think he'll definitely be up there amongst the leading scorers in the summer league, I would imagine.
Oh, that's great stuff to hear. Hey, Mike, thanks for joining us tonight, and let everybody know where they can follow you at and find you at.
No problem, guys. I appreciate you having me on. Thanks. And you can anybody listening can follow me on Twitter. It's at the real Mike KB. And I have a website you could look at. It's aroundthearc.com, and that's you know, just original NBA basketball content, mainly Sixers stuff. So thanks again for having me on, guys. I appreciate it.
No problem. Hopefully we will have you on again in the future when the Sixers get back in the season. Everybody, no Mike, heard him. RoundTheArc.com. Check it out. Great Sixers stuff as always. Dropping some knowledge on us right there.
I'm excited.
I'm impatient, though.
It's like I'm waiting. It's like I'm a kid waiting for the great Christmas present, and it's only July.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? I want to play with all my new toys. I know what I have. I know what's in the box. You can't take it out. It's like when you know what I mean, your parents get the presents and you find them in the closet.
Right.
But then they wrap them anyway to make you wait.
Right. Now, we're going to switch gears real quick and go to one of our favorite segments, only because we have so much packed for the show that we're not going to get to it unless we get to it right now.
Uh-oh
is right. It actually was a kind of a boring news day today. Mm-hmm. Unfortunately.
Everybody's on vacation.
Oh, yeah. But,
all the serial killers stayed at home during Mahi Mahi.
Yeah. Wawa applied to sell beer in Delaware County.
Beer in Wawa. I need beer. But I want it to be in PA.
Right now, they're selling beer in at Wawa's in Virginia and Florida.
Yeah, Florida, you can buy beer anywhere. And, like, I don't think you should be able to buy gas and beer at the same place and still talk about drunk driving. I feel like that's, like, counterproductive.
Yeah. When I, where did I go? I think I was in Indiana. Like, you can go to, like, the gas station, like, Lukoil,
yeah,
and buy,
that's
like,
crazy,
liquor.
Yeah. See, that's crazy.
So you can go buy, like, a handle of Jack at, like,
you
Lukoil.
You should never be able to go somewhere, gas up, and
no, you know
get
where,
drunk before you get home.
Yo, in Indiana, I hit up Taco Bell, got gas, and bought Jack at the same place.
That's called in and out.
Yeah.
And the quickest thing out is the Taco Bell.
Yeah. Yeah. Yeah, then I had to drive like 14 hours back to Pennsylvania. So, no. But remember the oil spill in 2010?
Yeah, I do. And I remember the South Park series on it as well.
$18.7 billion settlement.
To who? Who won?
The states. They all got a settlement from BP.
$18 billion?
Yeah. Split up amongst
five
states.
Is that like the biggest ever?
Ever.
I can't imagine a time where $18 billion was ever handed from one group of people to another.
No.
Think about this, people. NBA team got sold for $2 billion. So what does that tell you?
Well, this is what it is. I'm not going to see any of that money. You know what I mean? In fact, BP is right by my house. I bet you they're going to raise their prices.
They're mad. They've already lost so much money. The one thing you can't complain about right now is the gas prices. They stayed.
Yeah, they're I got gas on the way here. $2.69 at the Wawa up on County Line Road.
Then again, yeah. Watch the new president will come in and be the Republican.
Well,
and then the gas prices will fly back up. But they do.
Yeah. But, you know.
Gas prices?
Up. But, you know what's not going up and is actually going down is the Great Wall of China.
About damn fucking time.
No, it's not that they're knocking it down.
It's just age.
It's age. They've lost about 30% of it to date.
You can't even touch it to rebuild it. Like, that would just ruin
the
whole war. Should have maintained it.
Yeah, should have. Now, you a fan of Mac and Manco pizza?
Yes.
Well, the owners are pleading guilty to tax evasion.
Of course they are. If any business that only runs 3 months a year has no choice but to not pay their taxes. How could you even pay rent for 12 months a year when you're open from, maybe a little more than three, but you're open from what? May till September? I mean, everybody. I feel like almost everybody in every business, it seems they eventually come out with tax evasion. So it leads me to believe then, just like steroids in baseball, where you say, well, even though you only caught 10 guys doing steroids in the 90s, you know like a million did it. You know like everybody was doing it, like cocaine in the 80s. But
I was actually told that it's Mac and Manco split. Now it's Manco and Mac. It's a separate thing. I don't go to, I think it's in Ocean City, so it doesn't matter.
Yeah. That's
right. Yeah. But,
that's how I feel about businesses and tax evasion.
Oregon today.
Like baseball players.
Oregon today became the fourth state to legalize recreational marijuana usage.
Oh, for real? Oregon?
Yeah, Oregon today. Fourth one.
Very nice. What was it? Virginia?
No, Massachusetts.
Massachusetts.
Not yet. I think it's next week.
Okay. I think Virginia. I think there's a state right below us, right below D.C.
So that would be Virginia.
Or Maryland. Maryland.
Maryland? I don't think it was Maryland. It was Massachusetts.
All right. I told wrong information. It's not the first time. We won't do the last.
No. All I know is that they're going to make a ton of money in Oregon. Yeah. I've been reading how much they made in Colorado, and it's stupid money.
Was gay marriage federally the test project to legalize weed federally? Once the states do it, it's just inevitable.
I don't really know what you're talking about, so I don't know.
Gay marriage is legal.
Well, yeah, I know that.
Why?
Yeah, so.
But how did it start?
Oh, by the states.
What's going on with weed?
Yeah, but I'm saying, you can look at that.
It's a billion-dollar crop. You know what I mean?
Oh, yeah, it's like a $10 billion a year industry.
When you see every district, it's not like we don't drink alcohol. You see every district struggling. Cigarettes are $10 in Philly because they're rich. Mm-hmm. They need that.
I'm a smoker, so like, I don't know how much it costs. But I know that they're really expensive in Jersey, too.
Yes, sir.
And this is the last one. So DeSean Jackson, he has his own show on BET now. It's called the Sean Jackson Home Team. And it, like, follows
him
around.
Oh, my God. No way.
Yeah, and we actually have a little clip of it. Ben, if you don't mind playing that.
3-time Pro Bowl. Career high stats. 83 catches, 9 touchdowns, 1,300 yards.
DeSean!
I was at the top of the top. And then I got released.
DeSean Jackson, Eagles wide receiver, cut from the team. Served in all kinds of allegations.
Because he flashed game signs, they said he was uncoachable. Is any of that true?
No.
It was a smear campaign. Things the media said about me, I bet you said it about the majority of the people in the NFL. You were cut by the Eagles. I mean, it's their loss. I got a second chance to play in the NFL, now with the Washington Redskins. And I'm proving I'm one of the best receivers in the game. And I have a team that can help me in this new chapter. I have a lot of strong women in my life, but I'm the one to run the show.
Let's keep it real, D-Guy. Come on now.
My mom is Gil, and her role is the manager.
You're a football player first, right? So we don't want to jeopardize that in any way. My greatest challenge is making sure he does not blow this second chance.
I'm a man. Ain't that the truth?
We got to take control before he wrecks himself. I'm with it, girl. My mother and I are here to keep him on the right path.
Dree is my big sister. She's like my personal assistant. She tries to play the role that she's my mother, and she's really not my mother. This one right here is serious.
You don't need this. This is a no-no. It's hard work because he is a man, and he wants visions on his own. But it's just our job to just make sure that he stays focused. You know, reporters love to tear you apart.
Denise is my publicist, and she's been helping me change my image around, controlling and coaching me with the media.
If they ask you about the Deflategate, be political on that.
You know, with big-time companies.
I really want to align you with brands. That way we can start making a lot more money off the field for you. But one misstep outside.
side of the helmet, then brands get scared.
Get it.
Let's go.
You moving to California.
No, you're moving to Virginia.
Kayla's been my girl for about 6 months. Love you.
Love you.
I'm in love, but she lives in Virginia. It's hard to introduce new women to my mother and to my sister. They're very protective of who I deal with, so I definitely haven't introduced her to my family yet. I have a lot of people telling me what to do, but I want to stay true to who I am
and to the friends that I've used since before I was who I was.
I ain't going to change for nobody. For the NFL, for no coach, no owner, I'm going to be me, bro.
At the end of the day, all I want to remain is Deshaun Jackson. This sound
like
Sean
a rapper
Jackson
promo.
All right, Ben, you can cut that off.
That's terrible. I can't believe that the Washington Redskins have him on the roster. I would have cut him as soon as he said, you're doing a reality what? They were like, I swear, if you bring a camera into these friggin' parking lots, you're getting cut.
Well, there it is, the Sean Jackson home team.
What a bum. What it? Oh, is the worst type of person.
What? Yeah, he is. And, I mean, obviously you're just hearing it, you couldn't say it. But,
I would have been more mad if I could say it.
Well, you know how there's several, you know how he's trying to sever the ties?
I will find all six of his fans.
Yeah, you know how he's trying to sever the ties of, like, his, you know, gang affiliation, apparently? Well, in that little promo, he's in the club, smoking a cigar, drinking out of a bottle of champagne, dancing around.
He's a rapper. He acts like a rapper.
Every rapper wants to be an athlete. Every athlete wants to be a rapper. No, no, you know that.
It's sad, too.
Think about it.
The grass is always greener. Yeah. Because the athlete says, man, why do I have to go to work
the thing
350
is,
days a year to make this much?
The thing
and
is,
Jay-Z gets to chill on the beach.
The thing
I'd
is,
rather be Jay-Z.
Every rapper wants the money of a pro athlete. Every pro athlete wants the fame of a rapper.
Lifestyle, I'd say. They have the fame for the most. Well, the top, you know, 15, 20% of the NFL has the fame. Even today's offensive lineman is probably more known name now.
Well, we have one of the best offensive linemen in Jason Kelsey from an off-the-field personality.
Oh, he's the man. He looks like a wildebeest.
He is regularly intoxicated at Phillies games.
He's ready. I mean, he can have as many calories as he wants. I mean, you probably know how much that dude. That dude probably runs 6 miles a day.
Yeah,
in Chip Kelly's program.
Yeah, you know he's in there lifting weights every single day. He lives down at the reserve.
How about
did you know that?
Punter's comments. When you hear Kelsey come back
yeah.
right away.
Well, did you know Kelsey?
He's like, I don't know why he talks to anybody who's not allowed to get hit.
Yeah.
Of course, he's talking shit.
Yeah. Well, you know Jason Kelsey lives in the reserve now.
Where only the elite live. The Philadelphia elite.
He's over in the reserves.
Oh, mobsters and athletes.
He lives, I believe he lives next door to where Deshaun Jackson used to live.
Yeah, I remember Deshaun living there. I had a buddy who lived near that street. He said Deshaun used to have his house full of those times.
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. I mean, you remember when his house got robbed?
Yeah.
And, all they took was his jewelry and his guns. He had $200,000 in cash left.
They didn't find it.
Put the jewels right next to it, went into the safe.
Oh, for real?
Yeah, they didn't want his money. Apparently, the rumor is that it was somebody that knows him that wanted Deshaun to know I robbed you.
Yeah. Because who else would leave the money? I wouldn't leave 200 grand.
No. How do you have
200
grand in your house?
I don't know. I mean, if I was like Bruce Wayne, I like, you know, Bill Gates. Yeah, Bill Gates should have like a million somewhere in his house.
Bill Gates. He wipes his ass with hundreds.
So he's got to have that. But, I mean, you've only made $12 million. But, you know, we're going to try to drive away from Deshaun Jackson hate hour. I could do an hour.
I mean, we have an hour, 10 minutes left.
For somebody who I used to love, and it's sad, Because everybody's jersey I bought for the Eagles, Deshaun Jackson, bum now. And all that shit, he's the best. He's a great receiver again. I mean, look what he's doing. He did in Washington. Yeah, he did what he did here. He was great 53% of the time, but the other 40-some percent, he was just non-existent on the field. And I'll tell you right now, I am stoked about the three receivers, I'm sorry, we have right now in Jason Matthews, Nelson Aguilar,
Jordan Matthews.
I know, it sounded wrong as soon as it came out.
Of all people, your favorite
all
player.
People, I know, I was so happy to say his name. I was right. It only took
I'm
me
walking
one
out.
To be right. And Josh Huff.
I'm leaving the studio right now.
Can't do it. Don't matter. I'll bring us through. Wizard Radio Nation. We'll be here. Hashtag always.
I don't think that makes sense.
Doesn't have to. The hashtag.
The thing is,
hashtag means English definition phrase that does not make sense. Hashtag bullshit.
I'm just gonna go around being saying hashtag things. Like I'll be like at Target and I'll be like hashtag I'm not paying because I don't want to, and I'll just walk out with my stuff. Is that all right?
Hashtag free 50. Hashtag 5-finger discount.
Mm. We're really just killing time right now until our next guest is coming. He just texted me saying he's running a few minutes late, so
you could check into Walmart and put hashtag 5-finger discount.
Need hashtag need.
Takes what you need.
How many people does it take to get something trending on Twitter? Like, can we get a hashtag needs like trending?
No.
No.
I don't know. I don't even know what trending means. I guess people just mention it.
Yeah, you know, it's trending. I don't know how to be there either.
I don't understand the need. Like, the fact that I remember like 3 or 4 or 5 years ago, I heard about foodies and people trying to do that.
A what?
A foodie. Someone who goes around and takes pictures of food and posts it on social media. But now that's like an acceptable thing that people do. And like everybody's on their phone looking at food. At first you had, you know, you can't watch a cooking show. Like that's not enough. I mean, at least when the foodie is somewhere in your town, I guess.
Is this like food porn?
No, it's not food porn. It's on like Twitter and Instagram. People go around and they'll eat at all the nice places in the city.
Yeah, but I mean, like, you know what food porn is, right?
Yeah, basically. It's basically food porn.
Okay. I mean, it sounds kind of dumb to be
honest. It is retarded.
Okay.
I can't believe, like, I don't think, the last thing I think is when the waiter puts a plate in front of me is, let me take out my phone. That might be the 15, 20 minutes a day I don't touch mine. Because I'm going to tear that up.
Yeah, I mean, I spend a lot of time eating throughout the day. I eat a lot of meals. I get hungry a lot. So, I usually check my phone a lot, but never take pictures of my food. Usually because I eat it so damn fast.
You don't even see your food or taste.
No, like there'll be times where, like, I'll go out to eat with Amber, and I'll eat, and, like, see, the thing is, she definitely, like, slowed down my eating a little bit. Because, like, it used to be really bad. Like, I used to suck down, like...
Well, yeah, you're the type of person when you go out with you to eat. You're done before I'm done my, like, third bite, and then you're impatiently staring.
Yeah.
Because you're ready to go.
Frustrated, you're still eating.
He's the worst person. I mean, if you're going to go out with Justin, it must be go out to get drinks so he can have, like, 3 or 4 drinks after, you know, he's done eating. Because if not, he's going to just give you the impatient stare. He won't say nothing. You know, give it a couple minutes, then he will. But he'll just make it, I mean, it changes the taste of my food.
Yeah, it does. Like, you get the stare, and then you just get, you ready?
And because I always look up, and I'm like, I can't believe he ate that. It'll be like, he could have got 2 cheesesteaks. I'll be like, oh, it's 3 minutes later. They're gone.
You know the 2 foots from Primo's?
Yeah.
Oh, dude.
We need
the wrap.
I want to develop a new type of eating competition. I know that people, they have, like, the wing bowl. Like, okay. But you really need to do it 12, you need 16 minutes. You can figure out who's the fastest wing eater in 5 minutes.
Well, a lot of it's not about speed, it's about quantity.
And endurance. I just want to do the quickest eater. Like, eat this big-ass plate of spaghetti meatballs.
As fast as you can.
Bang.
Like,
eat this two-foot hoagie.
Like, you want it to be the, instead of having an unlimited quantity, you want it a limited quantity and you can...
Well, we got to give a better, you know, reputation to the kids.
Yeah.
You can't have them looking up to obese pigs stuffing 460 wigs down their throat.
Or like 70 hot dogs.
Like, what does that prove? That's not, no. I can eat 10 hot dogs faster than you.
Actually, yo, remember Joe Sabia?
Yeah.
He's actually the fastest person I've ever seen eat in my life.
He's like a scavenger animal.
Well,
they
like,
eat like hyenas. They eat quick, so the predator doesn't come back.
One time, a couple years ago, he challenged me to an eating contest. And it was the first person to eat 4 hot dogs. I shit you not. He had all 4 done, and I was still on my second one.
So Savia learned it from the bathhouse.
Yeah, I wish I had sounders loaded on here. I'd be playing a bunch of sounders.
Well. Tell him that. Say hi to Butter's dad.
Oh, man. All right, well, I don't know what he's doing, so we'll just switch topics, and we're going to switch over to the Phillies right now. I'm not sure.
Bah, you're ruining my Christmas in July with this.
Oh, yeah.
Can you tell me their last win? Was it that doubleheader you were at?
Yeah, I was there. It's the last win.
You were there, and they only won because they got 2 chances.
Yeah, they actually worked them pretty good the second game, actually. It wasn't really that close. I think it's only 8 or 9 runs. But I want to know what your thoughts are this. You know about the whole Chase Utley. You know, if he hits 500 at-bats, he...
Well, that there's another second baseman who's been getting a lot of playing time.
Well,
Chase Utley's on the DL right now.
Yeah, but he comes off in just a handful of days.
But I don't think he's going to get started
Hold up. I have a question for you. Listen to the question all the way through.
All right.
Today marks the halfway point of the season.
Right.
Like the exact halfway. He needs 500 at-bats. 218.
So he's behind. Not by much.
Is he going to see it?
No. Only because of the emergence of this player, because they have a legitimate when Chase Utley's batting.
It's Blanco, isn't it?
Yeah, I think it's Blanco.
Blanco. Where's Galvis?
Galvis is playing shortstop.
No, he's not. Blanco was playing short the other day.
I think, but I don't know. I don't think Galvis is hurt.
Because I didn't see him the other day, unless he's soured in the manager already.
No, he was doing really well. Maybe his batting average probably definitely came back down to earth.
Oh yeah, he's batting like 260.
But you know, the kid Blanco, he's got to get the at bats. I don't think Chase Utley's going to face lefties for a while. He's batting 189, so it's not like you know, he can say, "Hey, I can't believe you're not playing me." He has no right to say that. Now you got new manager, new ownership. They have no allegiance to Chase Utley. Chase Utley's going to walk back into that building in a few months and probably not see a face he recognizes. You know, now he's going to be looking at him and Howard, and they're going to be the last here. And it looks like, you know, even Cole Hamels is probably on his way out, probably in July.
Don't forget, Chooch is still here.
Yeah, Chooch as well,
but he's a catcher.
Wheels are, you know, he's almost about done. You know, he's hitting the most double plays this year.
Yeah, I mean, he's a catcher. The thing is, when catchers go, they go so fast.
But the thing is, we have a young catcher.
We do.
In the minors. He's really good. And the only reason Chooch is able to stay and hold his job as long as he is, because he's a great game caller.
He is.
And a great defensive
catcher.
And
the pitchers love him.
The pitchers, they do. And he's great for the young pitchers. You know what I mean? So maybe I say next year is the year you're probably going to see that kid brought up, or he might get brought up in September. But he was basically ready.
Right.
From what I heard, even at the beginning of this year, where they were like, "We're gonna let Chooch have another year."
Well, what do you think about Franco?
I love him. I think that's exactly what we needed, and now I think Dude Blanco might be a guy, because you don't need a lot of, you know, you got need a guy who can hit, you know, get on base a lot, and a decent average for second base, and now you get power at third base, and that's the kind of team you need to start to build with, and you got to see if, you know, guys like Ruff, and there's some other guys who could step up, and Ashy might have more chance to play first.
Yeah, I mean, Harang's on the DL now.
So
I'm reading this right now. It's plantar fasciitis.
You at least see three or four, you know, solid pieces, you know, for the Phillies going forward, and you're probably going to get another two or three with the Cole Hamels. But to me, I don't know. To me, I'm looking at Cole Hamels and I say, well, you know, if I strike lucky and I get a few more guys in here to get to that four or five, and there's another guy in the minors actually to come up and play shortstop. He's probably going to come up next year or the year after. You know, who knows when he's going to be in his prime per se. But you're going to see, I see at least the infield coming together. And, you know, you can always find a couple outfielders who you just got to, you hope these, really what you need is these starting pitchers to step up. That's what you really need.
Yeah, and I mean, here's just some points I got about the Phillies that I compiled today. Palang's on the DL with plantar fasciitis. He's 4-11, and I believe he started off the season 4-1.
I mean, he's just an old guy. He was here to just eat up some salary and some innings because they need somebody, you know, throw the ball. I mean, you're getting to the point now where if I was the Phillies, I'd be trading for every minor league pitcher in the system and just throw them into the fire. Every guy who was, like, on his one last chance, make it. Make it here. Make it now. Who knows? Because one of those guys is going to end up, I mean, look at who's the guy who threw the knuckleball? I think of his name.
Dice K.
No. The guy who had that great season for the Mets. And didn't he go to the Padres?
Yeah, hold on.
I can't think of his name, but you know what I mean? He's a guy, look, at 30.
Something Dickey, isn't it?
Yeah, Dickey. But think about that.
R.J. Dickey or something like that?
Right. He completely reinvented himself. He was done to the league. And he goes out and has a great season like that. You know what I mean? So you never know. Baseball's a weird game. Jamie Moyer had more wins in his 40s than his 20s.
Yeah.
So it's time to take some chances on some guys, give them some chances to come up in the big leagues. I mean, who cares if he throws the ball 85 miles an hour? Let's see if he hits the spot. That's what I want to see. And like I said, you know, you can talk about Jamie Moyer had, like you said, like I just said, I mean, these older pitchers, you've seen them have some success. And I think you're starting to see a little more of it that catch up to that high heat. You know what I mean? Everybody's seen, they've probably seen more 95 plus mile an hour fastballs in the minors than they do in the majors anymore. Because so many of those young guys who could throw that hot, their arms either burn out too quick or they can't place a changeup or a curveball to save their life. And that's not going to get you anywhere.
Yeah.
So I'm sick of seeing guys like that come up and fall down.
Well, let's shift away from the players. Let's talk about the front office and everything. Ryan Sandberg stepped down.
I can't believe he stepped down and gave away free money.
I think that's kind of a weasel move.
I think he wanted to save some of his respect.
Now, he
might be able to still get a job now as an assistant somewhere.
No.
In another year and a half, he never would have.
You're the skipper. You got to go down with the ship.
No. Listen.
There's a reason that Chicago Cubs didn't want him.
When the ship given to you to cross the ocean
already broken
has more holes than a Vietnamese neighborhood.
Oh, that's terrible. That's terrible.
Then
I'm listening.
You take the buoy and you paddle like the wind.
Oh man, there's no way.
It would be as if. The greatest analogy was when they kept Ryan Sandberg all those years, he was looking at the Titanic. And then it got out on his great big voyage. It got the great big championship. You know, everybody's loving the Titanic. And then it hit the iceberg. And then Charlie Manuel said, blah, 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 here's the job.
That's exactly what he said, probably. You're not lying.
You know what I mean? He was given the job to be the captain of the Titanic after it was fatally wounded. And to me, sir, I say, nay, I will not go down with that ship. I need to try and get a job to feed my family in a year.
Dude, I'm so tired of that. Oh, I need to feed my family. He's a Hall of Fame second baseman.
A Hall of Fame? Really?
Ryan Quinn was a Hall of Fame second baseman.
I didn't know he was Hall of Fame. I knew he played second base. I didn't
know. Oh, yeah. He's like one of the best second basemen of all. He's a top five.
He'll get another job then. He'll be fine.
The thing is that usually great players are not great managers.
What makes me the most mad is not only are they probably the worst team in the league, but they have, like, what, the fifth highest payroll?
They're, like, seventh, but yeah.
They're in the top ten, definitely.
Oh, yeah, definitely top ten. Well, Ruben's fate could be up in the air now with Andy McPhail up there. And, yeah, that's right. I said it. His name is McPhail with a P-H like every other goddamn thing in this city with the Phillies.
I like him. I looked up his resume. He's been on like three or four different teams who have gone from, in the time he was there, went from bad teams to good teams. He's a builder. He's a guy who's patient. He's built good teams. And if you want representation, the Baltimore Orioles. He was the guy there who really built that team. You know what I mean? Now he leaves baseball to kind of probably retool. And, hey, baseball is a year-round grind. There are probably more to do for those front office guys in the months, not baseball months, the off-season months, than they do during the regular season as far as scouting and getting their department in. So for a guy to take a few years off and come into a fresh start, and now he's going to come in and take a few months and get himself back acclimated, and they're going to hit the ground running, it sounds like, in September. And, you know, this is probably just 2 years too late. You really think about it. If they would have fired Amara, but I mean, how could you fire a guy when team has, what, 300 game seasons? It's tough to fire a guy in that time. You can't really, what are you going to do? You saw him slowly depleting the bats and overhauling an old pitcher. Now, I don't, you know what I mean? Those old pitchers could be Cy Young winners, but they're only going to be here for 3 years. Baseball is a marathon during the season and, you know, during the years. You got to look at, if in football, like Chip Kelly and them used to say, we look at players, how they're going to be over a three-year period. In baseball, you'd say six.
Yeah, perhaps. Perhaps. Now, we're going to switch gears a little bit. We might come back to the Phillies, depending on if we get the call. But we're going to switch gears a little bit and bring in something that we're both quite fond of, and that is fantasy football.
Bum, bum, bum.
Now, real quick, let me just say, I want to say a special thanks right now to the blogs that are currently in our league. We have a fantasy football league set up with a couple of the blogs across Philadelphia. You know, obviously we're in it. Also, Broken Bell Sports is in it. DeliverPhilly4.com is in it. Wizwit Sports is in it. BleedPhilly.com is in it.
Wizwit Sports is in it?
They are. CornerPubSports.com.
We'll handle it on the gridiron, fool.
Philadelphia Sports Podcast. Jeff Warren and all them, they're in it. And I believe that's... Oh, and Complete Philly Coverage is also in it. Now, we have two open spots left in there. So if you are a Philadelphia blog out there listening and you would like to jump into a blog league, you know, spread around, network a little bit, and leave, of course, to us. Because, like, it's our league. We're not gonna lose.
We're not going to cheat, but we're not going to lose.
Yeah, we're not going to cheat. We're not going to lose. Like,
although, if you look at every fantasy draft book, it usually says right on the top of the page, if you're not cheating, you're not trying.
Oh, yeah. The thing is,
See, that's why I don't know why everybody's hating on Tom Brady.
I was,
you know what I mean?
Listen,
listen. When the guy at the counter turns around, you take the Snickers. You know, everybody's done it once. It's cheating, but you do it. You know what I mean? You see the other light turn red, and yours about to turn green, but you jump and beat the guy. You cheated. You cut him off. But you win. Why are we going to punish Tom Brady? The guys weren't looking. Whether he did what he did or didn't, we don't know. He should get the same right as everybody else to cheat and get away with it if nobody was watching. If I went out and keep someone's car tonight and they didn't see me do it, hard-pressed them, proving it, they're burnt. I cheated, but I won.
I mean, listen. First off, few people draft better than. I mean, I'll even say both of us, because we both draft extremely well. There's no reason not to toot your own horn.
I'll go league on it, too. And as far as if anyone doesn't know what the league is, the fantasy football round of game show or TV show, and they have an 8-team league. Makes it dramatic. It's personable, then.
Yeah. I didn't tell you. Well, I didn't tell you. I just found out recently. And anyone out there, our blog league is actually going to be sponsored, and we'll be having a live draft. So the people that run these blogs will also be present. So come on out. We're working on the little kinks out of the plan, but we've been in contact with the bar that's going to host us.
Ooh, what bar?
Let's save that.
Save that for the date.
Let me rephrase that. I'm only keeping it a surprise for you.
Right.
Because it's going to be very entertaining when you get there.
Oh, man.
You could say I'm intentionally keeping you in the dark for my own entertainment.
Usually a good look. I like to know things. He knows that. So he lets me not know. But then, you know, I just bang it away.
But, a special thanks to all the blogs that jumped in there, especially because, I
have some fun competitions.
Yeah. And,
a little networking to get, have some great interviews with everybody.
Yeah, hopefully they don't take it personally that I will be talking shit to them about them and everything in between with that.
And their team.
And their team, where they grew up from, if they went to LaSalle or St. Joe's.
You know, the good old issues that, you know. As with football comes rivalry.
Yeah.
You know, no one would like football. If everybody liked each other, why would you play the game where you hit people?
Here's what I want to hit you with. I have the latest rankings for the fantasy.
Oh, yeah?
Yeah.
Let me hear it.
And we're right now, you and I, on air, while we have it. And this was my little surprise I told you about at 9:30. We're just going to do it now. We're having a draft off.
A draft off?
Draft off. Here's what it's going to be. We're going to I'm going to get everything set up right here. We're going to go to a brief commercial, or a brief little break while I can get everything set up entirely. We're going to come back, skim through all of our commercials real quick, all of our ads, make sure all of our plugs are cool, everybody's happy with us, and then we are going to have our draft off.
I'm excited.
But before that, I need you to give me the top three players, regardless of position, that you foresee in fantasy this year.
Adrian Peterson, Aaron Rodgers, and comeback kid Calvin Johnson.
It's interesting you took Rodgers over Luck, because I think that Andre Johnson might give Luck a little bit of the edge.
AR. All day. He's got the best. Adrian Peterson has the best nickname. All day. You can't beat it. But, you know, the reason I really love fantasy, you know, really has given me, especially when I was younger, the want to study and learn about every team. I'll tell you. I could probably name the starting three receivers. Now, the last years has been a lot of drafts, a lot of new receivers, so it might be tougher at this point because there's so much more depth at that position. But I could probably tell you the top three receivers, three running backs, and the quarterback for, you know, every team in football. And, you know, care and watch almost every game, remember who wins against who and who loses against who. And it's really broadened me to watch every game. And I guess that's exactly what they wanted. That's why the NFL loves fantasy because, hey, you know, everybody like, you know what I mean? I'm always going to watch an Eagles game, but I'll probably watch a football game over any other program on TV. You know, you can always DVR and get something else back, but there's nothing quite like watching your favorite sport live. But then again, I'll tell you right now, I've said it before and I'll say it again. I would rather watch a regular season or preseason football game even over a playoff baseball game. I think the entertainment value of football, I think you can almost see what a baseball game is in a couple minute breakdown. You know, a football game is such a more accumulation of parts. And that's why I'm so excited for this 2015 season to kick into effect, I'll tell you. With all the turnover from the roster, I mean, I'd be hard-pressed to see this many new faces and this much of a chemistry change, and not a chemistry change, but a structure change on the team. We're so much bigger, taller, and faster. Faster is a relative term, I'd say, maybe to the defensive side of the ball. They've gotten faster. The offense may be a little, you know, I would definitely say more powerful and more potent and more consistent. But we're going to have to see how it all comes together. And that's what this last month is going to be a grind. You know, it's a grind for every player out there trying to find himself on a new team, and a grind for us fans who are star for football. And that's why we talk about fantasy football, because the drafts are coming. You know, once I usually like to wait to draft till after training camp, because I don't, you know what I mean? I remember the people who drafted Tom Brady in 08. You know what I mean? There's certain things you want to wait for.
Well, Tom Brady in 08, he got hurt the first game of the year.
Right, I'm just saying, like, you don't want something like that. You want to wait as long as you can to draft.
Yeah, that happened in regular season. Like,
there's nothing you could do. I'm just saying for, you know, the players.
That was a bad example, damn it. I demand something better.
Well, that was my example for that. So we'll have to try again later. Thank you. Come again.
Like, you're talking like Jeremy Maclin.
Yeah, like Jeremy Maclin. Like, if you would have, you know, got him early, you know, you guys had an early draft because you were antsy, and next thing you know, your second round pick is not there before the season even starts. Their person watching preseason games.
Well, real quick, before that, though, if anybody was drafting Maclin in the second round, I'm still laughing at you. You can get him in the third, maybe the fourth.
My man Justin over here is getting specific. What's going on with the draft, John? I'm ready to win.
Oh, okay. Well,
what
the draft off would be, all right, you know, I'm going to do it as if the players are coming off the board as needed. So after you make a pick, after I make a pick, I'm going to go down and eliminate other players. For example, say you draft Aaron Rodgers. All right, I'm going to, if I don't take a quarterback, I'm going to also knock off a couple of the top flight quarterbacks off it as if other people were also drafting. So I'm going to be with you. What position are you going to pick? You're going to be like a running back. But if no running backs are taken yet, you can do it. If I would have taken a running back, by the time you come and take a running back, I'm going to take the top three or four off the board.
Bum, bum, bum.
All right?
Ready.
All right? So say that you – We'll let you be me, because I have a tendency of always getting the number one overall pick. So we'll let you be me. You're on the clock first.
Number one overall. It'd be so easy if not for a certain suspension. But if I was going to take the number one overall pick, now as a standard league,
yep,
then you got to go with the man, even though he didn't play a lot last year, bring him back. The Beast. All day.
AP.
Some of the top running backs, they have injury concerns. They're going to miss time anyway. AP was coming a year and a half away from 2,000 yards.
Just so you know, though, also off the board are Jamaal Charles and Marshawn Lynch. Okay. I'm going to take Andrew Luck. But with that off the board comes Peyton Manning and Aaron Rodgers.
I will go Calvin Johnson.
Oh, that's my guy.
Off the board will also come.
I got to scroll down to wide receivers.
What, Dez Bryant?
DT. DT, Beckham, and Brown. I'm off the board. So I have to... I'm torn between, do I go with Julio? Do I go with Dez? You know what? Got to think outside the box how you win these kind of things. I'm going with Gronk.
Gronk.
Now, only person coming off the board with that pick is Jimmy.
All right, so now it's up to me.
It's up to you to decide.
I'm going to go. Wait, who came off the board with the receivers?
Brown, Beckham Jr., and Demaryius Thomas.
All right, well, I'm going to go. Now I'm going to take that three-game suspension since I have a monster, and I'm going to take Le'Veon Bell.
Taking the Bell, even though he suspended the first three games.
Hey, they're not playoff week.
All right, well, I will tell you right now, I was going to take him with the next pick if you did not. Let me scroll up here. Let's see. If Le'Veon Bell also comes off the board, Arian Foster and Eddie Lacy. Happy running back. Oh, man. Well, I got to do it. Give me DeMarco.
Ooh, DeMarco. I would have went McCoy.
You're good, DeMarco.
DeMarco. He's still going to have
his numbers. I trust Chip.
He's going to have his numbers this year.
It's your pick.
Do you take Julio?
I did not.
I'm going to take Julio. Julio.
Julio Jones. All right. Well, with that pick, also, Dez will come off the board with that pick. As will Jordy Nelson. Well, I don't trust Emmanuel Sanders or Alshon Jeffery anymore. You know what? It's a ballsy move. I will fully admit that it's a ballsy move. But give me T.Y. Hilton.
Good pick. I think he's going to have another great year. Need the explosion.
And you also get Cobb and A.J. Green off the board.
Give me Greg Olsen.
Greg Olsen.
My boy. He's my boy, Blue.
Oh, also, just so you know, you're only drafting a starting roster.
Yes, I only have one more pick.
No. You still have
a flex and a QB.
A flex and a QB. And a defense. And a kicker.
Okay.
All right. Let's see. I need a running back. Oh, and when I took Murray off the board came Matt Forte and LeSean McCoy. So I'm going to go with a guy who really broke out last year. And obviously he broke out last year because he was a rookie. Jeremy Hill.
Not a bad pick.
I mean, don't get me wrong. It could be a crapshoot between
Hill and I think you're going to see split work, and I think Bernard is going to end up with third down work. So I think you'll be just fine.
And well, I guess it really doesn't matter with that pick who came off the board. We have two running backs.
Yeah, I don't think I'm going to take another running back.
No.
So this one, who's off the quarterback board?
Rodgers, Manning, and Luck.
I'm going to go off the radar here and make a bold pick. Take my man, Big Ben Roethlisberger.
He had a great year for me last year.
He did have
a great year for me last year. Good pick.
I don't like Breeze without Jimmy Graham. I want to see a year. I'm not ready to take Breeze as high as I usually would.
Fair enough.
And anybody with a top five receiver has a chance of being a great quarterback.
Yeah.
Normally, to be honest, in most drafts this year, though, I probably would wait. Justin knows my quarterback method. I wait and wait until the last possible minute to get the top 10 quarterback that I want.
Right, and I'm going to take Mike Evans.
You can take two off the board. It doesn't matter. I don't know who I want.
Go for it.
Jordan Matthews. My man.
Oh, is he going to be your flex?
Yeah.
Yeah, the guys coming off the board with that pick was Emmanuel Sanders and Alshon Jeffrey.
Yeah.
And with your pick, the guys coming off the board are Kelvin Benjamin, DeAndre Hopkins, and Julian Edelman.
Yeah, I would take it. All right, and now what you have?
I have my flex position now. Now, I'm a firm believer in not taking two wide receivers on the same team. Okay,
tough to do.
But the next two highest rated players are Vincent Jackson and Andre Johnson. I have Mike Evans and Hilton. You know what? No, give me Deshaun.
Deshaun, not a bad pick. He's due for. He had 1,000 yards, I think, last year.
I look at it like this.
He's a good flex player.
And my personal philosophy is your flex needs to be a boom or bust.
Yeah, that's a good pick for him. He's a great boom bust player. Any given week, he could put up Calvin numbers, even numbers. But okay, past that. All right, so now I'm going to go my defense. And I'm going to go off the board here again. The hometown love. First defense off the board. One and only Philadelphia Eagles. I trust in Chip. And I trust in the more snaps means the more sacks and the more picks. The Eagles had some huge numbers last year in some big weeks. With special team touchdowns, punt return touchdowns. The Eagles score touchdowns every way. And now this year you're going to see more defensive touchdowns and more sacks, even more, with the top upper-level coverage. You know, whereas last year the DNs and everybody, they had to get to the quarterback almost immediately, you know what I mean, with such a crappy secondary. Now you're going to see more coverage sacks.
Definitely. Now, Eagles, that was good. I got to go with the Jets.
Even with the suspension today.
Yeah.
He'll be back.
They still have Revis. They still have Cromartie. They
still have Leonard Williams. How great does that pick look now? I got to give it to them.
And in normal fantasy fashion, we go to the kickers.
Gostkowski.
Ghost.
You know, I had him in one of the leagues last year. He had like 5 weeks in a row of 20 points. I was like, are you kidding me right now? He was beating most people's flex players.
Let's see. I might as well. Is Adam Vinatieri still the kicker for the Colts?
Colts kicker.
Yeah, I just want the Colts kicker, whoever that is. Because they're going to hum that ball up and down the field.
They do.
No, you know what? No.
You should take the Eagles guy.
I'm taking Cody Parkey. Cody Parkey.
Come on.
I picked him up last year. He was a solid 15, 20
I didn't want to do it to you. I wanted you to have one of them. Because I took the Eagles D. You probably would have.
No, I wasn't. I was probably going to go with the Jets.
Jets either way.
Maybe Bills. Buffalo, I think they're going to have a good day.
All right, so now how do we judge a winner here?
We're going to put the vote out and we'll have a winner next week.
Oh, now we'll see.
I'm going to record you know what? For the sake of this, let's each draft two rookies, though.
Two rookies. Well, all right, you go first, then, for the rookies.
Let's see. Give me Gordon.
Gordon's a great pick. I'm going to have to go Kevin White.
That's your boomer bust guy, isn't it? Yeah, it's a good pick. I don't know. He's not like that wide receiver, like the pure definition of a wide receiver, but he's like a young DeSean Jackson, and he'll just make plays. He's
6'5" DeSean Jackson.
I don't think he's like 6'1".
Who? Kevin White?
Yeah.
I was huge.
No, he's not.
think he's huge.
No, he's not. I'll look it up right now. But I think he's maybe 6'2". All
right, who's your other rookie?
Oh. I'm torn between whether I want Parker. Well,
Amari?
I look at Amari, but where is he going to get on the field behind Hilton, Evans, and DeSean Jackson?
What? Amari Cooper?
Yeah.
He plays for Oakland.
Yeah.
He's the starting receiver for Oakland. You're saying on your
spot. How's he going to see the roster?
Well, these players are rookies, you know what I mean? They're bench and bye week players.
Well, I mean, I don't know.
He's the best player on the board.
Gordon might go above Hill.
That's true. That's very true. Gordon's a great pick.
Dylan, because I think he has a chance to do something special, I'm thinking Mariota.
Ooh, that's a good pick. I'm going to go Gurley.
The thing is, I wanted Gurley, but I think that I think Gordon went to a better situation.
Definitely.
Than Gurley did. I think that San Diego is a much better spot
when you have a running back with that knee concern. You're not going to thrust him in when you have two or three decent running backs in the system. So he's probably going to split carries early. But I would think later in the year is when you're going to see.
Now, let me ask this this question to you that what were you going to say, man? I just lost it because I had to look up the Kevin White thing. 6'2".
He's only 6'2"?
6'2".
Seems taller.
He
is a beast, though.
Yeah, he is a beast. I'm trying to... What was I going to say? I hate this. I get distracted when I'm jotting stuff down here because I have OCD that I have to write everything down on the planet.
If you don't write it down, you'll forget it.
Yeah, the thing is, like, if I usually
forget things as they come out of my mouth.
The thing is, listeners saw, like, you know that big black folder I have for the shows?
Oh, yeah.
They saw the notes I have in there, jot down every little comment, question, concern, everything, like, onto the paper.
Oh, that'd be ridiculous.
No, it's terrible. It's a huge problem, actually. I should have wrote down what that was before I forgot. It had something to do with the Eagles. We were talking to Eagles. It had something to do with the Eagles.
12 wins.
12.
My fantasy team would have more, though.
How about the suspensions? Let's get into that.
I will say I cannot believe about Antonio Gates.
Yeah.
He's the one that really shocked me. You got a couple young guys, a guy who's had trouble in the league before. And then Antonio Gates is kind of the guy who never expected
from. Well, you know what's good for the Eagles? They will draw the Jets without Richardson. Is that his name? So they'll draw the Jets without him, and they'll also draw the Cowboys without McClain.
Yeah, and the Cowboys are really going to be in dire shape. Early in the season now.
Have we heard anything about Sean Lee yet?
From what I heard, he's doing fine. But you know what I mean? You never know with him. It's so tough.
It's a shame because even though he's on the Cowboys, he's a Penn State linebacker.
So you always got to keep your eye with him. And I always want him to kind of do well. But like,
I want him to do good, but not against the Eagles.
Keekly. Right. So, I mean, he's up there.
He's up there. He's top five. I mean, you go... I say Keekly's number one now. Brian Cushing's up there.
I still can't believe Patrick Willis retired.
Yeah, how about that real quick? I want to talk about that for a minute because this doesn't happen often. A 30-year-old middle linebacker in the prime of his career. He
walks away. I guess he had the injury from last year. And
it's a toe. He said he just couldn't.
The doctor told him he might not be able to walk again. If he continued to beat it up.
And what about, and there's a lot of young players retiring early.
And then to insult injuries to the Niners, they had the guy who replaced Patrick Willis retire after his rookie year.
Yeah.
Because he got a concussion and it didn't look good.
Yeah. But he said he'd never been injured before, and it scared him, so he retired.
Yeah, who knows? 2 years from now, he might come back.
And on the offensive line, what's the name? Smith. The lineman for the 49ers, the tackle. He went to Rutgers.
Oh, he retired as well?
Yeah.
Justin Smith?
No. He did retire. Oh, he's
retired.
He's the D-lineman.
That's what I think. I can't believe.
Andre Smith?
Yeah, maybe something like that.
Anthony Smith? Something like
I
that.
Think, but he can't. I can't believe what they had 5 players retire.
Yeah.
You know, the Niners really just been decimated. They go from.
And they lose their head coach, which actually, real quick, talking about, we do radio interviews here, you know what I mean? Like, you know, we don't see the people. They call in, they're on the phone. Well, Jim Harbaugh, did you see what happened to him yesterday, I think it was?
No, I didn't hear nothing.
He called in the Colin Cowherd show, which. It's beside the point, but I'm not a Cowherd fan.
That's a gay name. That's all I have to say.
But he actually just straight up ends the interview because he didn't like the direction it was going. He says, hey, the exact quote is, hey, Jim, I love you, but it's not working out. See ya. And just hangs up on him.
I've never heard of that.
He said,
it sounds like he's the coward.
Well, it says that he said that in 25 years it was the worst interview he's ever had.
That's a bold statement. I mean, it's got to be the only interview you ever hung up on.
Definitely.
I guess Harbaugh, though, he's never been like, he's kind of a dick sometimes. And he talks real weird, but he never really says anything anyway. Real close to the chest guy, but you see he kind of is a guy who burned out in the NFL. And I'll tell you, that really threw a big red flag to me for Chip Kelly. It's almost why I was happy to see them turn over so much of the roster. You know, you wonder if when you ride guys this hard. Now, I think Chip Kelly's better with sports science than getting guys rest. You know what I mean? And making sure they're not overworked. So that might play a bigger role, but... You saw in 49ers, I mean, look, he pushed the best linebacker in the league to retire. You know what I mean? That says something. I mean, that really does. When you got 2 players on your team, you freaking retire. You know what I mean? In the young primes of their career. And now you leave a team when, I mean, other than last year, you were a play.
Let's be fair.
You were a year away from being a play away from being in the Super Bowl.
Listen, let's be fair. Now, did Jim Harbaugh want to leave? Maybe. But it's not like the 49ers were begging him not to.
No, but that's what I'm saying.
Let's be fair about that.
He wore out his welcome in that organization.
Yeah, oh, for sure, definitely.
But I'm just saying, from the top to the bottom, I don't know if he was having a disagreement with the personnel guy about how they wanted to acquire talent or what it quite was, but Harbaugh did not seem to... really know what was going on. He seemed to really be out of touch and he seemed to not be personable enough to have a long-standing relationship in that kind of environment. It's one thing in college when you're dealing with younger minds, guys who are trying to make their name. I mean, how many times, especially you go NFC Championship to a Super Bowl, then you go back to the NFC Championship. You know what I mean? And how are you going to tell a guy who's that a veteran to go and beat himself up again the next year? He's going to say, hey, coach, I know what the F I'm doing. Back up. I know what I need to do on the field. You see what I do on Sundays. And Harbaugh wasn't having that. You know what I mean? It's the way you have to be with younger players. You have to beat that repetition into them. But once these guys are veterans and they're set in their ways, it's hard to get them to overwork because they feel like they have the skills that they need to do what they need to do. And to a point, you know, they're probably right. I mean, we know that Brian Westbrook never practiced here, but he was a great running back on Sundays. There's a lot of players who don't practice and end up being great on the field.
Practice.
I mean, AI being this is a different example for a different sport.
Well, yo, every time you hear that I hear practice, I have to yell that.
It's true. It is ingrained in my DNA.
Like you're walking down like the hall in school, and you hear like a band teacher being like, "You need to practice, you know, your instrument." I just want to be like, "Practice."
But I just think his game was way more Harbaugh's game was more compatible with the college game.
Well, that's
having
like,
new players every 3-4 years.
Well, like he's like you hear it with Chip and other head coaches. You know, you can't be too hard on the pros because they'll just be like, you know, F you, like this is how it's always done. You're not doing it your way.
Right. So you got to give and take. But I don't know.
But
I mean,
like,
you hear so many
people. Yeah, but
Eagles,
I'm saying, but a wide-eyed college kid fresh on University of Michigan's campus
he's going to do what the coach tells him because the coach coached in the NFL and this is his shot. You're talking about made men and pros. You know,
well,
they
can
football for 32 teams in the NFL.
Don't forget that Jim Harbaugh was a player as well.
Right. So he has that. I mean, he was a quarterback.
Trivia question.
Okay.
Two-parter. Who got their first career sack against Jim Harbaugh?
Ray Lewis.
Who replaced Jim Harbaugh?
Who replaced Jim Harbaugh?
Like as a player, like who, I guess, forced Jim Harbaugh out of his job?
Peyton Manning?
2-for-2. Absolutely Peyton Manning.
I thought it was Peyton Manning.
Absolutely Peyton. They drafted Peyton Manning, and the next season, Harbaugh was out.
Of course Harbaugh was out. He's got one of the greatest quarterbacks ever.
Well, it's not like they kept him around to mentor him, is what I'm saying.
Did you really need to mentor Peyton Manning?
No. Have you ever seen the documentary, The Book of Manning? It's about all of them, about Archie Manning, Cooper.
Well, Archie wasn't that
great.
He's made his, like, not like he wasn't a good player, but like comparative to his sons.
Oh, yeah.
His sons have well outreached him, but he played in the era. It was a different era then, too.
Played in the 60s and 70s.
Wasn't quite yet the long ball
I think
era.
It was early 80s, too. But they're called The Book of Manning. It's like a documentary about the whole family and everything. I watched it at the gym the other day because I forgot to charge my phone and it died, so I just plugged it into the treadmill and I was watching it.
There's worse things to watch while you work out.
Well, the thing is, I finished, like, I did like an hour on the treadmill, but the show wasn't over, so I just, like, the thing's only let you do 60 minutes at a time, so I just started a new cycle, so I watched the end of it. Like, it was a solid view. I'm telling everybody out there, yourself included, to go check out The Book of Manning.
I will check that. I remember hearing about it. I definitely catch it.
Oh, yeah. It seems
like
solid.
I mean, they've really, look, you got, what, 3 Super Bowls? Did Archie ever win a Super Bowl?
No. But, like, it has, like, really, personally home movies and stuff from their careers. And like, they have, like, little, like, high school videos of Peyton Manning throwing the ball in high school. And Eli, like, as, like, a freshman working out, like, he's, like, 15 years old. Some interesting little video.
Little freshman on campus.
This wraps up another episode of WizWit Radio. As always, broadcasting from the Red Sound Studios out in Warrington, PA, we want to thank our guest, Mike KB, joining us earlier tonight to talk some Sixers. Great stuff as always from him. Check him out at The Real Mike KB on Twitter and AroundTheArc.com. Want to thank everybody out there listening. Thanks to Ben for producing the show as always. Got my co-host Michael Irano here. Everybody, take it easy. We'll catch you on, what's it, next week. No, not next
not
week,
next
the following week,
week
we'll catch you. Catch you 2 weeks to start breaking down.
Because I will
Eagles
not
training
talk
camp.
Phillies for a half hour.
Absolutely
more than
not.
A half hour a day.
Absolutely not. Everybody, go out right now.
Get a cheesesteak.
Get a cheesesteak.
Whiz wit.
Yell at the top of your lungs, "I trust Sam Hinkie."
And make it whiz wit.
Peace.